14. Okay. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha ananya cheta. Without deviation of the mind. Satatam, always. Ya, anyone who. Mam, me, Krishna. Smarati, remembers. Nityashaha, regularly. Tasya, to him. Aham, I am. Sulabha, very easy to achieve. Parta, Osanaprita, Nitya, regularly, Yuktasya, engaged, Yoginaha, for the devotee. Bhakti Leon, could you grab that bhajan, the one that Ajastra Smara Smarare? It's the Bhajan Gita. We'll sing it right after this because it reminded me. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Purport. This verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation have also been described: karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti yoga without any mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha. As indicated by the word ananya cheta, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahmajyoti or salvation or liberation from the material entanglement. While you're over there, if you grab the 3-4, it's in a box that says Bhajan Gita on the side. And if someone could grab the 3-4 Bhagavatam, the one that has Lord Kapila on it. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, can somebody give a verse to that effect? A pure devotee does not desire anything. Ooh, pretty good. Well, you're right on it. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitu ki tvai. Can you say what it means? A little bit? Microphone over here.
I don't need the wealth, nor do I desire a beautiful woman. I just want, birth after birth, your devotional service.
Nice. Good one. And Badahari's got one. Prabhu.
Krishna Bhakta Niskama Ata Eva Santa Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Ashanta.
And that one's in your shloka book. Everyone can look it up. Krishna Bhakta Niskama Ata Eva Santa Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. So that's a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says Krishna Bhakta Nishkama. The Bhakta is Nishkama. He has no desire. Ataiva Shanta. Therefore, Ataiva Shanta. Therefore, he's peaceful. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. That means, what's a bhukti? Bhukti. He wants to enjoy? Yeah. What does he want to enjoy? Matter? Television? Walmart? Okay. So bhukti, mukti, huh? One who wants to enjoy the fruits of his action. Okay. And how about mukti? He wants liberation. So Lord Chaitanya talks about bhoga tyag. There's two things that the living entity goes through eternally in the material world. Bhoga, he tries to enjoy, and then when he gets tired of enjoying, he gets frustrated, then tyaga, he wants to renounce everything. And liberation falls into that category. Let me give everything up. Bhukti mukti, how about siddhi? Some kind of power? What kind of powers are there to be sought? Mystic powers, what are they? Yeah? Lagima? Smaller than small. How do you do that? Does anybody know how you do that? Is it just some fantastical thing, or is there a formula in the Srimad Bhagavatam that tells how to attain these mystic powers? Do you know? Huh? Through yoga, yeah, but that's pretty general. I mean, a lot of people practicing yoga these days, I don't see them getting smaller than the smallest. Their wallet's getting smaller. Actually, it's explained by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of how to attain these kinds of mystic powers. Worshipping the demigods. Actually, he talks about... that's there. Demigods can give something. But there are ways that the yogis actually can merge their consciousness with certain material elements and attain the same features as those material elements. And there's a process. It's described by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. And he also says that for pure devotees, they don't aspire for these separately, but they attain them also. They get them naturally. These kinds of mystic siddhis come naturally. So bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta means they're not peaceful. So because they want something, they're not peaceful. But the bhaktas, they're nishkam. They have no desire, therefore they're shanta. So back to the middle of the purport, says, a pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called nishkama, which means he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. Whereas a jnana yogi, karma yogi, or hatha yogi has his own selfish interest, a perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to him, he is easy to obtain. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna in one of his various personal features. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations, such as Rama and Narsingha, and a devotee can choose to fix his mind in loving service to any of these transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, he is especially inclined toward those who always serve him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways. As stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 1-2-23, Yami Vaisha Vrinute Tena Labhyas, Tashaisha Atma Vrivrinute Tanum Swam. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as he is. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam, the Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence that ultimately the devotee can attain him in his spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in a holy place, should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan. Do you know when he told him that? Yeah, Vadahari Prabhu. Can you give him the mic?
Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan, but Lord Advaita tricked him. Or was it
Lord Nityananda tricked him, but Lord Advaita was in on it, right?
Yeah, they were in on it. They tricked him, and instead he came to Shantipur. And at a certain point he realized that, oh, this isn't Vrindavan, I've been tricked. And at that time Advaita said, no worry, that's not true. You're in Vrindavan because you're always in Vrindavan.
Because you're there. As indicated by the words Satatam and Nityashaha, which mean always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti Yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the Bhakti Yogis are engaged in five different ways. 1. Shanta Bhakta, engaged in devotional service and neutrality. 2. Dasya Bhakta, engaged in devotional service as servant. 3. Sakya Bhakta, engaged as a friend. 4. Batsalya Bhakta, engaged as a parent. And 5. Madhurya Bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. And so, for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How about a verse that indicates that a pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment, and similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment? If you can have it all in one verse. If you can have it all in that one verse, which verse would you pick? There's one in your shloka book. And how would you look it up if you don't know where to find it? Any suggestions? Okay, you could try that. I have one in mind. There's a nice verse on page 246, and Lord Vishnu instructed this to Durvasa Muni. He told this. Why, did you just find that, Bhakta Leon? Sorry. So the best way is to, now from now on, to just randomly open the book. Forget the index. That's for sissies, huh? Sadhavo. Page 347. Who doesn't have a shloka book? Okay. All right, if you don't have it, it's also in the Gita and listed there. And in your shloka book on page 246, look at the bottom. Can chant it together. Sadhavo hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam toham madanyat te na jananti naham tebyo managapi. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Anybody else have another suggestion? Page 717? What page? Oh, in the Gita. Okay, in the Bhagavad Gita. What's the page? 346. Will you chant it for us, please? With the mic.
Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me.
Purport. Free from all contaminations of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless, and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, he who is in knowledge of the absolute truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. And of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge and is at the same time engaged in devotional service is, the Lord says, the best. By searching after knowledge, one realizes that his self is different from his material body, and when further advanced, he comes to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. When one is fully purified, he realizes that his constitutional position is to be the eternal servant of God. So by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. How does one become himself pure? According to that sentence? Association of pure devotees. I'll read it again. So, by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. But in the preparatory stage, the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional service is very dear to the Lord. He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of God is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. Yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Page 300 in the Bhagavad Gita. Could somebody pass him the microphone? He'll sing it for us.
Yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me.
Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instant he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to the material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated, nor is the personality of Godhead ever out of the sight of the devotee. To merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. A devotee takes no such risk. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita 538. Premanjana chudita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva hrdayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintya gunasurupam govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyamasundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does the devotee ever lose sight of the Lord. In the case of a yogi who sees the Lord as Paramatma within the heart, the same applies. Such a yogi turns into a pure devotee and cannot bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. And we have a bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Bhajan Gita. And in the fourth stanza, the second line down, Ajasra Smara Smarare. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, oh, always remember, always remember. Ajastra smara smarare. Always remember, always remember. So this is Krishna's advice to always remember him, fix his mind. That's the essence of these verses that we're talking about. And in one paragraph, Srila Prabhupada said that this means constantly, or it means every day. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has especially said that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, which means perpetually, always, means, especially in this Kali Yuga age, it means at least every day something. And there's great power in that. We've talked about that, and we talked about this last week in the class, of the power of numerical strength. It means that if we have a fixed program that we're dedicated to every day, chant our prescribed number of rounds, whatever that is, for if you've taken a vow for 16 to do your 16 rounds carefully, or if you're working your way up to 16 and you have a certain number you're working on, to stick to that, it'll give you strength. And then adding in something like chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita and reading something regularly, hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, it gives us strength. And then we actually associate with the great personalities in these books. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the Lord in literary form. He's actually a person. And the personalities like Narada Muni, the pure devotees that are in Jad Bharat, who are within the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll associate with by hearing about them and reading about them. They appear transcendentally in those verses and stories. And also by remembering the names of the great devotees, as in this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srinivas, Haridas, Murari, Mukunda, then we also get a great chance to advance in devotional service just by hearing their names and remembering them. So let's sing this bhajan as a way to connect with the pure devotees of the Lord. And as we emphasize this idea of ajastra smara smara rate, to always remember, just remember.